Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/Lilisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
A great morning to you and you and you. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning.
Today?
How are you doing?
I am absolutely fantastic. So glad to be here yet another day. That in and of itself is something to be thankful for. You know, there are a lot of people that, you know, didn't make it through the night. So we are excited. Yes, yes. And welcome, welcome to each and every one of you who are tuned in. If you're tuned in, good morning. There's an exciting message coming forth this morning. So let me just, I tell you, I saw that message on yesterday, and I said, this is going to be an awesome, awesome show talking about the basic success principles, becoming an attractive person. So, Terry, I'm going to let you take it away because I can't wait to hear what you have to say on this topic.
Well, first of all, I want to say again good morning to you and good morning to the listeners. And again, I know that as age 60 plus, every day I live is definitely a blessing and opportunities to do what I do again and again and again. And I think in the final analysis, when I'm talking about sexy at 60, I'm talking about really doing what you love for as long as you possibly can do it. And I think one of the things that I want to put out there right from the beginning is that I'm asking the listeners to do something that is abnormal. I'm asking you to be a different kind of person. I'm reading a book here by a gentleman named Rory Vanden. There's a book entitled Take the Stairs, 7 Steps to Achieving True Success. And what he says that when we go to a mall or we're going to a shopping center or we're just maybe going to a business meeting or office building. Most people, he says, when it comes to the choice of taking a escalator or taking the stairs, most people will take the stairs. And he said in the book that we really sort of need to change our mindset and really be about taking the stairs as much as we can, because that's what the average person will not do. And I find for myself that success comes to those who really, 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 really want it. And they want it to the point where they're not going to do the things that other people do because they don't want the results that other people have. Also in this book here by Rory Vanden, he talks about the fact that many people don't do the things that they need to do. For example, he says here, and I quote, if you're like most people in the world today, then you have read fewer than 5 books cover to cover in your lifetime. According to one major American publisher, 95% of all books that are purchased are never completely read. And he goes on to say that 70% of all books ever purchased are never even opened. So people have the key to their success, the seeds to their future, right on the bookshelf, but they never take the time to open the book. And again, it's a situation where if you don't open the book, if you don't do something, you won't get what you're looking for. A lot of people talk about the law of attraction, and that's basically what I want to talk about today. The law of attraction states basically is what you think about is what will come about in your life. But the sad thing is that, again, people understand that you have to do something, that you have to do some kind of action, because we can wish and hope and pray to be successful, but unless we do something, it's not going to happen. Bob Proctor, in a book called You Were Born Rich, says that no amount of reading or memorizing will make you successful in life. It is the understanding and application of wise thought which counts. Again, the key, reading and memorizing is not enough. It is understanding and application. You have to really be able to use what it is that you need to do to be successful. And it goes on to say here, and again in his book here by Take the Stairs, he says that successful people have all had to do things they didn't feel like doing in order to get where they are. Success isn't easy. Success isn't overnight. Success isn't ordinary. And to become successful requires us to do things that aren't easy and things that people don't ordinarily do. And I know for myself, I mean, I get up early in the morning to sometimes read, sometimes write, sometimes meditate, and I know that the average person will not do that. I walk 5 miles every day, you know, and this is Monday through Sunday, and I know that ordinary people would not do this, and I do things that ordinary people won't do because I want to live an extraordinary life. I mean, I've always tell my students and people who come to my lectures that, you know, it's about going from all right to wonderful. Many of us realize that we have to come through all right to get to wonderful, but many of us are stuck in all right, which is all right if that's what you want. But if you want more, if you have bigger plans for yourself, you have to move toward that wonderful. And I tell you, that land of wonderful is just that. It is wonderful. All the things that you want, all the things that you can imagine for yourself are there. But you have to put forth the effort. And I think it comes down to the fact that you have to believe in what you are about. I believe that charisma is that ability to draw people to you, is very, very important, because that is where you really find most of your success. I mean, a lot of people in business don't like to talk about sales and selling, but in the final analysis, that's what business is about. You have a service, you have a product that you want to bring to the public, and if they buy that service or that product, then you can really realize your future free. I mean, when I say people by you, it is about interacting with others in a way that helps them to get what they want so that you can get what you want. It is about connecting with others for the express purpose of uncovering and solving their problem, because I don't think people really want to hear what you say unless it's something that is going to help them in their particular life. And in this book here, there's a book by Jeb Blount entitled People Buy You, and he says that what you must do to really to buy into this is to understand that people buy your brand. People buy what you are about. For example, he says here, your ability to build lasting business relationships that allow you to close more deals, retain clients, increase your income, and advance your career to rise to the top of your company or industry depends on how your skills are getting other people to like you, to trust you, and to buy you. And I always say you must sell your ideas, your service, and your hope for the future to other people. So when I say about Sexy at 60, I'm talking about living a life that is going to be something that you would be glad to be a part of, that you would live the life that you want. Gandhi says that, you know, basically what we have to do is be the change that we want to see in the world. If you want a better world, then maybe you have to be that person. You have to be that leader in that area. And I think it really comes down to that you have to put in the work. Malcolm Gladwell, in a book called The Outliers, says that if you want to be expert in your field, you have to put in 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours of study, of practice, of application to be an expert in your field. And most people won't do that. But I'm saying that to become an attractive person, one who attracts success, opportunities, monies, clients, friends, experiences, that person has to be proactive. They have to be about not waiting for something to happen, but to make something happen. And I really believe, and this is really the essence of what I'm talking about today, is that to become an attractive person, you must be a magnet for the things that you that will ensure your success. You have to be the captain of your own success ship. You have to really, 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 really want that success so much that you can't stop thinking about it. It's what wakes you up in the morning, and it was really what put you to sleep at night because you're so exhausted, so tired from doing the thing that you love. But as you're sleeping, the subconscious mind is working on it. So really, it is really the fuel for your living. It is the fuel for your enthusiasm. You must be the change, like I said, that you want to see in the world. When you think about the greatest life, you have to see yourself in that picture. Don't have the attitude that begins with, it would be nice if, you know, because that really sets you up for failure, because most people that I know who have started businesses, they didn't start it because it was the perfect time. They started it because at that time they knew they had to go for it. So you're waiting around for a perfect time. It's like a writer waiting around for inspiration. I've been writing all my life, and I don't wait for inspiration. I just wait for a couple of hours or 1 hour that I can sit down in my quietude and do this. I don't wait for inspiration. I wait for the opportunity to do what I love to do. And I'm going to say here that an attractive person is one that fully and completely understands the law of attraction and that it is proactive. They don't wait to see things happen. They make things happen. They don't just wish. They fulfill their wishes. They don't just dream. They dream big. And I think the enemy, the devil in this whole thing, is procrastination. I mean, procrastination cannot even be part of your vocabulary if you're an attractive person. They do what they need, what needs to be done when it needs to be done. As Wayne Dyer likes to say, excuses be gone. Attractive people have developed healthy success habits. They practice the habit of literacy every day. They do some reading in their field. So they want to be up to date of what's going on in their field so they can be the leaders in their field. Number two, they're right. I don't think any leader, any attractive person does not have a daily schedule. I mean, I know I have my to-do list, and I put maybe 10 things on that to-do list, and as I go through my day, I check those things off. But I write it down because when you write something down, it makes it more serious. It makes it like a contract. So, again, reading and writing is important. Also, talking to like-minded people and getting their feedback and listening to your mentors. I mean, I always read something by Wayne Dyer or even Russell Simmons as a mentor to me from his writings and from his example of his life, also the Bible. read the Bible, and now I read the Bible, and there's things I never understood. I understand them now. And number five is the view. It's the view, inspirational lectures, inspirational movies and videos. And those who are serious about being attractive are really about the mind and body integration, knowing that everything is about the mind, the body, and the spirit. We have to keep those things together. And also they live in a true sense of emergency. And when I say emergency, I'm saying that they emerge with urgency. They're not limit people. They don't limit themselves because they seriously know that what they put in their mind is what's going to fill their spirit. And again, like I said before, attractive people are abnormal because normal people do normal things and they have a normal life. But we as attractive people, we want to go from all right to wonderful and live in the land of wonderful. The last thing I really want to say is this, you know, again, to be attractive person is not being cute or handsome, that kind of stuff. But I find that when you feel good about yourself inside, it reflects how you look outside. And that's why you can put on a suit or a dress that you had in your closet for a long, long time, but your attitude is so positive, and people stop you on the street and say, you know what, you look good in that suit or you look good in that dress. And it's not so much because of the garment, but it's because of what you have in the inside that is radiating outside. And that makes you an attractive person. When you have that inner confidence, when you have the inner spirit, you can't help but smile because you can't help but be grateful for what you have received. And also, live in expectation. I know, Lisa, that my life now is nowhere as great as it will be at 65 or 70 or 80 because I'm planting the seeds for that right now. And I'm drawing to me all the things that I need to make my life the best it can possibly be. And the thing is that this whole idea about sexy at 60, it's not a local thing because as I talk about this, I have to go to different colleges and have different opportunities to speak about this concept. People light up when I talk about it because I guess they reflect the light that I have in my eyes and my feeling about it. And so, again, I encourage all our listeners to really develop their inner confidence, their inner strength, and their inner fortitude so that they can reflect the beauty and the purpose that they have inside, and that would truly make them an attractive person. So that's what it is.
Oh, you know what? Well, you have definitely, you know, got some stuff. Because initially, sure, when you hear the word attractive, we could begin to think of just a type of physical attraction. Yeah. But now looking at the flip side of that, talking about, well, they do go hand in hand, though. What we attract to our lives, the people that we attract, the situations that we attract to our lives, because, you know, Professor Benjamin, there are a lot of people who do not understand why, how they attract situations to their lives.
Yes.
Even after all of the teaching and all of the popularity from the law of attraction, some people still don't get it. Even before the law of attraction, before that came out, rather, on Oprah and Susan Burns or whatever.
Exactly, you're right. You're so right.
Yeah, before this all came out even, you know, many of us who attend church, whose family members are ministers of the Bible or just read it for themselves, already knew that it said, ye shall have what you say.
Mm-hmm.
They already knew the scripture that says, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Yeah.
They already knew this before Oprah was born, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So before Susan ever got on her show.
Yeah.
It's so hard for people to grasp the reality of it.
Yeah.
Even
and,
in
you know,
the church.
And it's funny, and that's why the Bible is such a great book, because it says in the Bible there's nothing new under the sun. This whole thing about the law of attraction makes me laugh, because when I was 9 years old, I was actually engaged in this, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't put a name to it. But it's nothing new.
Exactly. Nothing new. And here's the thing, and people still don't get it. There are some people who still are not practicing it or believing it. You know, I was at a workshop once, and they were talking about how the woman had studied under the whole School of Law of Attraction. It's like an institute, universities, yeah, if I may. And she was doing some teaching about how situations are attracted into individuals' lives. And some people who were really struggling with the fact that there's no way you're going to convince me that I attracted that horrible situation into my life, you know.
Yeah.
And but yet even Job said, the thing I feared the most came upon me.
Yeah.
So even in the book of Job, there's a small, small teaching there about the law of attraction.
Yeah.
Because for him to fear it, he had to think about it. And there you have it. As he thought, it was attracted to him. And so, you know, it's still a good teaching. It's timeless. The fact that it was in the Bible, the fact that, you know, it shows the timelessness of this message. It will never.
It's interesting, yeah, because you talk about, you know, that word, you know, and you talk about it in the Bible, you know, first it was the word, you know.
Yes.
And the thing is, and that's when people understand that the way that you talk to yourself inward can make all the difference. If you look outside and say, well, you know what, it's going to be a bad day, guess what? It probably will be a bad day for you. But if you look outside and say, you know what, I thank God for another day of life, you know, and I'm grateful. That makes all the difference in the world.
And, you know, and probably you're right. It probably will be. Because, again, it says clearly, you shall have what you say.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 24 says, if you believe that you receive it, you have it. And I believe where Dr. Wayne Dyer got a lot of his motivation for the book, you believe it, you can, if you can see it.
You'll see it when you believe it.
Yeah, that one. I believe he got a lot of his motivation from Mark 11, verse 24. He said, so, you know, but why is it so hard for people to grasp it? I think it has a lot to do with people's, you know, sometimes our upbringing, certain things we were taught very, very young. You know, if you were taught by your parents ever since the day you were one, that before you could know anything, that money is blue, even though it's green, you may still say it's blue.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you were taught, you know. And so some people that I've met, I've talked to them, they absolutely refuse to be retrained.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or re-educated.
That is so sad, isn't it?
Or retaught. Yeah. There are some people who reject that concept. I've seen people sit, even in church, I've seen people sit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday, and will not receive the lesson. Because of something they were taught that goes against that from, you know, their upbringing. It's amazing to me. But, you know, talk about human beings being an interesting lot. And I've seen it, you know, in other arenas, not just in the church. I've seen it in the workplace.
Yes.
I've seen managers and leaders try to put forth a particular concept, and some people, well, because we never done it like that, we are not buying this.
it is so funny because I think for myself, I think my breakthrough spiritually was the fact that I was speaking to myself and I said, you know what, you have to be willing to be wrong. See, a lot of people don't want to be wrong, and they want to be right even when they know that they're wrong and they're stubborn about it. But I think you accept the word of God is to be humble to the point where you say, you know what, God, I know I've been here on this planet like 60 plus years, but you know what? Maybe I need to see things in a different way, because I think old age is just that, not being able to entertain new ideas, new feelings, new thoughts, to be stuck in the same thing. And they say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It's not going to happen. If you're doing something stupid, it's going to be stupid no matter how many times you do it that way. Now, if you want to be smart, then you'll do it a different way. But like you said, some people just refuse to change it, and it's so sad, because if they would just make, as T.G. Jakes says in one of his books, is that just reposition yourself, okay? Just a little turn here. Maybe what you might want to do this time when you go to church, why don't you sit in a different place, and maybe you'll see things in a different way, in a slightly different way. And that's not so hard, I don't think, anyway.
Oh, that's absolutely going to be hard for some people. It may not be hard for you.
But for you and I, it just seems so simple, because, I mean, and it's so funny to me, because we know that life is about change. And if you're not willing to change, you're not really, as far as I'm concerned, if you're not willing to change, you're not really ready to fully experience life. You know, I think I would be bored if I thought that every day was going to be the same. My life is going to be the same today as it was tomorrow, or the same today as it will be in the future. I'm looking for increase. I'm looking for true abundance. And when you say true abundance, it's more than wealth. I mean, wealth, money is just one small part of it. I think the whole thing is about resources and really living in a environment where people love each other, where people encourage each other, where people really look for the best in other people. I mean, if you look for the bad, you're going to find the bad, but I choose to look for the best, because I think there is the best in everybody, and I choose to look into that, and I choose to dip my hand into that well and pull up the best, because when I pull the best in them, I also pull up the best in myself. And I would like to have a situation where I'm looking at people who are a mere reflection of me, in the sense that they want more out of life, and I look at them and I see that they want that, and I feel that, you know what, if they want that and they have that, I can have that too.
Right, exactly. And, there are some people who are going to, listen to this. They'll listen to the message, and hopefully they will hear something that will allow them to move to that new place, move to that next level where they can begin to really enjoy this wonderful, wonderful life. Like you said, you know, your life can really explode once you tap into the fact that you are great beyond measure.
A lot of times we just think too small. I mean, you know, we start to expand our vision of ourselves and of our world, you'd be surprised. And when I say being that attractive person, that person, you know, is out there, and you're attracting the opportunities that and the circumstances yourself that you would not have realized if you stayed in that little box that you call your ego. Okay, Wayne Dyer like to say ego. Ego is edging God out.
Okay. Well, we don't want to do that.
No, we don't want to do that.
We're out of time again. So, again, we want to, you know, thank you for that powerful message. Definitely thank you for joining us. Kiva there in the chat room, I see you. Good morning, and God bless you. Thank you, Terry Benjamin. And we'll see you back here next Tuesday, same time, same place, for another powerful word. And for those of you who missed the message today, you can go back to the archives and hear the entire message, or other messages as well. So, again, Tuesday mornings right here with Coach Lalisa and Professor Benjamin. Terry, have a wonderful day. Maybe I'll see you out at one of the colleges.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, everyone. Enjoy your day.
That's it.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.